G'day, I'm Catherine.
And I'm Lewis, and welcome to Diz Down Under, the unofficial view of Disney from the bottom of the earth. Well, not quite the bottom. Yeah, the bottom, not quite the bottom. The bottom's further away, but we're quite close to the bottom.
We should do one from Antarctica. How awesome would that be?
Yeah, it'd be very, very cold.
And it's not cold today. We're actually sitting out the back. We thought we'd give the outdoors a go.
And to give you an impression of how big Australia actually is, here in Perth, it's shorts and t-shirt weather, and our friends in Canberra are complaining that it's snowing.
It's so bizarre. It really is. But we're sitting under the pergola, bit of shade happening, but it's t-shirts and shorts weather, and that's pretty crazy.
It is very, very nice. And on the show, we have got we're talking about a specific topic today. And because we're speaking about a specific topic, we needed a specific drink to go with it. So what are we drinking?
We're drinking margaritas, sir.
And we're drinking margaritas. Specifically, we're drinking 11 a.m. margaritas, but it's not 11 a.m. here in Perth. It is 11 a.m. in California, though, so I figure we can get away with it.
It's that little worldwide tribute.
That's right. That's right. So that's for Kurt Stone. It's at Geeking on WW podcast, because 11 a.m. margaritas is their thing. We thought we'd just steal it.
We're not stealing it. We're just borrowing it for this episode. We're
borrowing it for this episode.
I'm feeling a little bit homesick for Epcot.
Well, we've got friends over in WW at the moment.
I know, and I'm living vicariously through their photos, but it just ain't the same.
So I do apologize. I'm not much of a spirit drinker. So if I take a sip of the margarita and I have weird sounds, I apologize for that.
Are you worried that you're not going to like it?
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Quite nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I made it so you'd like it.
Oh, that's very sweet of you.
I didn't put anything sweet in it, though.
It's very salty.
Let's put salt around the rim.
I know, it's such a weird thing.
Make sure you drink from the same spot and you won't get too much salt next time.
Yeah, such a weird thing. It's like most drinks are kind of like sweet or sourish or something like that, but to have a drink where it's salty is such a weird thing.
It's
not weird.
Get over it.
Fair enough. So we're talking about Epcot because we visited Epcot in 2016 on our first and only so far Walt Disney World trip.
That's right.
And we were lucky because we were positioned at the Yacht Club and we were very, very close to Epcot. So we got to go to Epcot a lot.
It became our little home away from home.
It did, because you could go there on the way back to the hotel. You could nip in there, grab a couple of drinks at the Rose and Crown, or go to one of the Italian wine place, or go to the French area and have a wine in France. It's so nice to be able to just travel the world in the same place.
And what we found ourselves doing was we'd go to one of the other parks during the day, and then on our way home we'd stop off and just have a little bit of Epcot, because there's so much to do there. That was the thing that spun me out.
There's so much to do there, but you can be forgiven for thinking there's not much to do there.
Mm.
Because in the future world side of things, you've got Spaceship Earth, which is an awesome ride, very old-fashioned kind of ride. And it was at the time, it was Judi Dench was the person comparing. I think she still is the person doing the voiceover for the ride. But it was quite interesting. What were your thoughts on the flagship ride of the park? Because it is the centerpiece of the park.
I thought it was good. It's just different. It was something that there's no examples of it anywhere else.
Because I had no idea what was actually inside.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm still struggling to. I mean, we rode it twice, right?
Yes.
And it was just such a different experience. Like when we first got on it, and they were taking us back in time, and then as we move forward, and you get to the end where you're inventing your own future. Although that never worked for us. That sucked.
It never worked for us. It never worked for me in particular. Because of my beard, it would never actually get my face right. Yeah. My face would always look munty on that thing. I enjoyed the Spaceship Earth side of things. And then you got the other rides like the Test Track, which is a fantastic ride.
Yeah, and that reminded me so much. I guess maybe it was a bit of a precursor to the Cars ride over in DCA, just with that little zoomy bit at the end. And
It was an original version of that kind of ride system, but I think they perfected it at California with the Cars ride.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And it had different theming as well. But don't you think that there were some similarities as well between the Test Track and the Tron ride.
Yes.
Just with the way the colours and stuff were done and that there was a bit of competition.
Yeah, I suppose so. That was actually one of the things I liked a lot about the ride, was that designing your car before you went on the ride.
That was so cool.
It was cool, but it was kind of like unfortunately you were competing against other people in the, like, with their cars they made. But it was like each couple or each, like, you know, two people were making one car, whereas it would be much more fun if you had made a car of your own and then you were, like, competing against each other.
Yeah, that's true. So what, just have a ride system where there's just the two of you in the car?
Yeah, but again, you need to have, because I think it was like six people per car.
Yeah, I think two rows of three.
Yeah. And so it was one of those ones where you usually end up with some randoms in the car just to fill it up. But it was always good fun, and it was always fun to see the ride photo and see what people were doing in the ride photos.
Ride photos are the best.
But the design of your car element was awesome, and you just had to make sure that, like, you took turns one ride to the next who was going to design the car.
Yeah.
And then remember afterwards or take photographs afterwards how well you did. So you could still compete as well.
Ah. Yeah. You and your competitive edge.
The thing you could do afterwards where you go to that screen and then you could type in different things and come up with an advert for the car you designed.
Yeah.
And it shows you the car you designed going through this advert. That was awesome. I'm not 100% sure if the email thing actually worked, where it emails it to your account, but it was good.
No, I don't think it did work, which is a bit of a disappointment. Yeah. But, you know, these things happen, I guess. Do you know what was quite interesting when you talk about that design element? And I can't actually remember what it was called, so you might have to help me out here. But we went into that building and they had that thing that was the VR.
Interventions.
Yeah. And we did that virtual reality roller coaster where we got to build our own roller coaster and then ride it. That was amazing.
Yeah, some of all thrills.
Yes.
It was great. It was really good. And they took it away. And I don't know why.
Oh, really? That actually makes me really sad, because it allowed you that creativity and you were designing something yourself and then seeing it come to life and experiencing it. Yeah, I love it when it comes up with the thing. Are you sure you want to do two full loops? Yeah. Yes, I'm sure.
But it was.
God, you really have converted me, haven't you?
It was an amazing experience to be able to do that. I mean, sure, the graphics were a bit naff and everything like that, but it was still.
Still worked.
Yeah, it still worked. It was still really good.
Well, maybe they'll do like an updated version of it. That would be, you know, I don't know. Probably not. But there was constantly people lining up for it, and it was really enjoyable. I can't see why they'd do away with it completely, but I guess they need the space for other fun things that are going to be coming along down the track.
Oh, exactly. But, that was the only thing we really did in Interventions, because it was that, and there was the colour thing, and there was a house where it was a earthquake house or something like that. But it was really only the sum of all thrills that was really interesting that we wanted to check out. So it was, Interventions was a really interesting part of it, and that was really good fun. Mission Space.
Oh, do you know, I've been having a bit of a laugh to myself just with how far I've come, because when we rode Mission Space, I was really nervous about doing it the first time, and we went into the easy queue.
Yeah, we went green. We went green the first time. Yeah.
But as soon as I got off, I was like, all right, so when are we going to do it orange? Yeah. Because it was good, but I could see that there was obviously something more that it was going to offer. Mm. And when we did orange, that was just such a blast.
It was something was missing. Like, yeah, because when you get into that capsule and you get given the different things you've got to do, it was just so, okay, now you got to press this button. Press, and it's like, that's a bit naff, and then you land and it's all good. But with the orange one, where you're actually, you know, spinning and you're feeling the negative G's, and you go, press the button, and you're actually,
you're like, sure, I'll press the button. Yeah. And you're like, it's slow motion. Yeah. Like, no, I'm really trying to press the button.
But the only problem I had with the ride was that I don't think it made any difference to what happened if you press the button or if you didn't press the button. Or,
oh, really?
Where I think you need to have the ride where it would have different endings depending on what you got right and wrong.
Or what timing you did things in as well. So yeah. If you missed certain deadlines, yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
Because, I mean, it's only a ride. I mean, if it crashes and you die, it's like, yeah, oh, well.
I know if it happens on the ride, it happens in real life.
Yeah. But I reckon it'd be great if it was like, you know, you got to press at a certain time. You've got, like, only seconds to do it. If you don't do it, then it crashes. And they're talking about when they're doing Galaxy's Edge, the new Star Wars land, that you're going to pilot the Millennium Falcon. And so a similar kind of, you know, interactive experience.
Okay.
And if you dent up the Millennium Falcon or crash it, then it's going to have an effect on your rest of your park experience because people will know within that area that you did that. And so
when you say people, you mean cast members.
Cast members, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you could be in a bar and a bounty hunter might come up to you and go, oh, I hear you crashed the Millennium Falcon. And so it adds immersion to the experience. So that's what they need to do with something like Mission Space is to have that interactivity. Well, not so much that extent, but at least let it crash. You know, if you don't do it properly, let it crash.
But they've made changes to it.
Now, yes.
So Gary Sinise is no longer the guy.
Yep, that's right.
And Gina Torres is...
She's your guide, you know, telling you what you're going to do and all that sort of thing, which Gina Torres is the perfect choice for it.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. You know, they should just turn it into a whole, like, get the rights from Joss and just turn it into a Serenity ride. How cool would that be?
That would be awesome. Although I think Serenity was on Fox. I'm not 100% sure, so I doubt that will happen.
Deals can be done.
Yeah. But, yeah, it would. I think it's great to have, having her there. And I think it's great having the green side be like a lap around the Earth and actually seeing the Earth from space.
Yeah.
I think that's
great. Making it a gentler ride overall.
Exactly, yeah. I think it makes so much sense. And I'm really looking forward to going and checking it out because I don't think we would have gone and done the green ride again next time we go. We probably would have just gone straight to orange and just done
for
that.
Sure. Yeah. But now we probably will because, you know, it gives you a different element.
Exactly, exactly. Hmm. Now, there was one ride there in that the Future World area that we rode, which is a ride that you got to be so careful going on because if you go on it with a full bladder, you're really screwed. And I'm talking about Ellen's Energy Adventure.
Which no longer exists.
No, it's recently shut down.
Hmm.
But the ride was like... 37 minutes long.
Were you not expecting that, Lewis?
No, well, I did not expect it to be that long. I like, because you think theme park ride or theme park attraction, you're thinking, you know, 5-10 minutes tops kind of thing. And then to go on a ride where you've got a pre-show and that goes for a while, and then you've got these people like repeatedly saying, this ride is long. Do not go on this ride if you cannot like sit there for this amount of time. You will not have a chance to leave, to pee. This is going to be a thing. And then to go in there and sit in those massive moving, I guess, like theater seating, it was like, yeah.
It was pretty big and it was pretty amazing the way that they put the show together, but oh my God.
Yeah.
It was dated. It was long, as you say. I don't think it's one that I'd miss and I don't think I would have ridden it a second time going back, so...
It was a attraction of its time. Certainly was, and it's certainly something that needed to be updated. And I am very, very, very happy that it's getting, you know, ripped out and going to be replaced by a Guardians of the Galaxy attraction.
Yeah,
which is going to be very exciting. I just can't wait to see what they do with it.
What about some of the characters that we met? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a good way of doing it as well. Like going to the character spot, like because I guess there was two ways because you had the character spot, which is where you met Mickey, Goofy, Minnie, and then on the other side it was Baymax.
That was
cool. That's a pretty amazing meet and greet, I must admit. Like to actually go there and like see this massive squishy Baymax, like it was amazing.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be so amazing, but it was. Yeah. It was totally worth it.
Yeah, no, that was great. And then like when you go to the World Showcase side of things, then you go around the world and occasionally you'll just see, oh, there's a meet and greet of a character. Just
There's Snow White. Oh wait, she's going away. Oh look, there's Snow White. Oh wait, she's going away. I swear that woman's got something up where she's got some issue with us, Lewis.
Yeah, every time she sees us, she just went away. But yeah, you see Mary Poppins, and the first character we actually met in Walt Disney World was Daisy Duck.
Daisy Duck, yeah.
when we were having our 11 a.m. margarita. But we did miss out on a few things in the Future World area because they were shut down. And it was, we never got to go on Soarin'. So this was the second time we didn't get to go on Soarin'.
Yeah, it was because we missed out on it in DCA because it was broken / down for repairs.
Yeah.
I think that it did come up a couple of times, but by the time we got over there, it was down again. And it was down the whole time that we were over in WDW this last time.
Because they were putting in another theatre because it was so popular that the wait times were ridiculously long. And so they put in another theatre so that they had shorter wait times, which has worked. And hopefully we get to experience it next time. And hopefully it's better than the one in Shanghai. We did do Journey into Imagination with Figment, which it was... It was an okay ride, but it was a ride that you could just go, this should be so much better. And I believe it was actually better. Originally, the original Figment ride with the Dreamfinder sounded amazing.
Oh, so it was a completely different ride before?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It still had the Figment character and everything like that in there, but it was just a different ride, a different story.
Hmm.
And they had this Dreamfinder character who sounded like a magician, like a ringmaster with a top hat kind of character. And then he had Figment, and they worked together. Whereas in this one with Eric Idle, it just seemed like he was a scientist that was working against Figment. And it was just, it was not exactly what I was hoping for from the ride.
Do you think they tried to make it more educational? Was that the aim?
I'm not sure. Well, that's the thing. Epcot was supposed to be edutainment. So it was supposed to be educational and entertaining. But I'm not sure. I just think that somebody had an idea and they went with it and it just didn't work. But hopefully they, we've said previously, and the guy from the One Little Spark podcast as well said that turning the Figment ride into a trackless ride system similar to Pooh's Honey Hunt and the Mystic Manor would be awesome if they could do that. It's a great character for that kind of ride. But again, it needs a lot of investment in it. And because they're putting Ratatouille in now and because they're putting Guardians in now, I just don't see it happening. But I wouldn't be surprised if Figment's one of those rides which eventually ends up just getting shut down.
One of the other things that's over in that general direction is Living with the Land.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that area. That's more the edutainment side of things.
And an example of where it actually worked, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, it was a great, like the land and the sea. I liked both those areas because I really enjoyed going into aquariums and those kind of things. And the aquarium in there is amazing.
Oh, it's spectacular! It really was.
The land of the sea is great. Now, even that ride, when you do that land ride and you go through all the sustainable farming and all those kind of things.
Well, that was the bit that really interested me, I must say.
Because it's actually a tour you can do where it's like a backstage tour and they take you through and you actually go into the areas that you see from the boat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd be really interested to do that.
Mm. But it's great. I mean, it's just from a farming point of view and those kind of things, it's just interesting seeing like the vertical farming and all those kind of things. It's just it's just great. And to think that the produce that is grown there, including the fish and stuff like that,
ends up around the resort and restaurants.
Yeah.
I think that's spectacular.
It's just fantastic. And so, the land and the sea were great. And I think we must have spent a good maybe a quarter of a day, half a day in that area.
Easily.
I think before we went into the sea area, we had a turkey leg as well. Because we'd always seen people chomping down on these turkey legs and we just had to go and have a crack.
And we're big meat eaters and we love a bit of turkey at Christmas time, but it just wasn't what I expected.
Well, the weird thing is it does taste, people have said it before, it tastes like ham.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but it does taste very hammy. I think it's because of the way they smoke them. It does change the flavour of it. So it tastes less like turkey and more like ham.
Yeah. Oh, they salt it, don't they? They inject it with a brine.
Yeah, yeah.
It was more the sinewiness that I didn't enjoy. I thought it was going to be more meaty, and it was very sinewy.
Yeah, turkey's legs are always sinewy. They've always got those straps in them.
Mm.
And so... That's one of the things that's hard to get around with that. But, it was good to have a try, but I don't know if we'll go back and have another turkey leg. I think it's a one and done for us. But, it was an interesting experience.
Yes, to say the least.
That area of the future land, it's good, but you could tell it was so in need of some love.
Yeah, and yet there's some really really cool things to do. So the Club Cool, we went in there, and Lewis is, he collects everything just about, but he's always been a massive Coca-Cola fan. You've always admired their marketing and that kind of thing. So to go to Club Cool and try so many variants of Coca-Cola products, it was just right up your alley.
Yeah, it was one of those things that I was really looking forward to going and doing, which it sounds ridiculous. Like, oh, what are you looking forward to going to Walt Disney World for? Well, going to a Coke place and trying the different Cokes from around the world.
Yeah.
But we
and heard, trying to, like, scare me. Well, not scare me, but shock me by getting me to drink Beverly. I'm just like, tastes like Chinotto.
But the drinks, like, because we'd heard about Mezzomix before, which is a German Coke product.
Yeah.
Which is a combination of Coke and Fanta. And we tried that in Germany. So I was always interested to taste different products from different parts of the world, because different people in different countries have different tastes. And so it's very interesting to see what soft drinks are popular in different parts of the world. Mm. Like in Scotland, they drink Iron Brew, which is a drink that's sold really nowhere else in the world. So it's always fun to go and try new things from different countries. And that Beverly is a perfect example from Italy. It's so weird that people would drink voluntarily something so damn bitter.
But there is a traditional drink in Italy called Cinotto,
which
is the same thing. It's like a, I don't know what they call it, like a, I don't know, they drink it for a reason. It's like an aperitif to get you, stimulate your hunger or something.
To get a flavour out of your mouth.
But I like that bitter kind of stuff. I like those extremes of flavours, so I didn't find it as offensive, I guess, as you were hoping.
But it's always one of those fun games to, like, try to fool people with the Beverly. Go, oh, taste this. It's delicious. But next time we go, I'm really looking forward to going to Disney Springs, because they've actually got a Coke shop there, similar to what they had in Las Vegas.
Oh, right.
Where, again, they've got, like, even more flavors of Coke from around the world.
Can you remember going there and we just, like, had this tray that was stacked, like, three high? That was brilliant.
That was it was pretty full on. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to doing that. But we've got to move on from Future World, because there's a whole other area that we have yet to actually discuss.
I know. I thought that it was going to be, like you said, like when you look from the outside with Epcot, it looks like it's going to be a bit, not boring, but not as exciting as the other parks. But once you get in there, it's just a wonderland of things to do and eat and drink and experience. I was really, really surprised by how much I enjoyed the World Showcase. I thought it was going to be like a half day and we'd be done.
Yeah.
I had no idea, once again.
And it was one of those things we keep going back and back and back to. It's because we've done a bit of travel and we've gone to England and we've gone to parts of Europe and done those kind of things. And it's
now we've gone to not a lot of Asia, but we've been to Japan and Hong Kong and we've been to Shanghai as well.
And so being at those actual places, I think they've done a fairly good job in World Showcase of highlighting the, you know, some parts of those places.
Yeah.
And particularly, like, food and drink are such a important part of life, that going to a place where you can go to different countries like Mexico, Norway, China, Germany, Italy, the United States, Japan, Morocco, France, the United Kingdom and Canada.
You cheated and read that from a list.
No, it's totally off the top of my head.
Wow, you're so knowledgeable.
And you're going to those pavilions and being able to try food from those regions and try, you know, drinks from those regions is amazing. It's awesome. And a lot of Americans, unfortunately, don't get a lot of holiday time. So for them to be able to go and just get a sample of those places, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, and maybe it encourages a bit of tourism to those places as well.
Well, hopefully. As I said, we've got friends currently in the Walt Disney World. I was going to say the Kingdom, but it's much more to Walt Disney World than just the Kingdom. And Michelle from the Disney Dream Girls was in Epcot, and she was in the China Pavilion. And they've actually set up an area in the China Pavilion that showcases Disneyland Shanghai.
Are you suggesting that we might be able to talk Michelle into going up to Shanghai sometime soon?
Yeah, possibly you could talk to Michelle to go to Shanghai soon. But it was great to see that they've actually got that exhibit there, because I remember when we went to Disneyland and we went into they had this thing set up for the new Fantasyland area in Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, I was like, oh, now I want to be in new Fantasyland. So now we're going to go to Walt Disney World. So hopefully it's like whets people's appetite. for me, like the it was great, you know, going on some of the rides there, because we didn't go on Maelstrom because that was down to become the Frozen ride.
Correct.
And we did go and do the Grand Fiesta Tour in Mexico. We went and did the Circle Vision for China. We mm-hmm. did the Circle Vision for Canada and mm-hmm. the Circle Vision for France.
Mm-hmm.
I think France was the funniest because it was like...
So dated.
Yeah.
It was like, welcome to the 1970s.
Yeah. It's a welcome to Paris from the 70s.
So you can kind of understand why the... Are they going to remove that when they put in Ratatouille, or is that going to be an extension?
I have not heard that they're going to remove it. So okay. So maybe they'll keep it there, but they really need to update it because it's certainly... When the guy came out and said, yo, welcome to my France. This guy, you weren't even born when this thing was filmed. But yeah, it was quite interesting. But it was great to be able to go into the French pavilion and order, you know, different French wines and go to the Italian one and get, you know, Italian wines.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely amazing.
And having people like from those countries serving you, particularly when we're in Italy, I felt like I was walking into Nonna's kitchen when we went into Tutto Gusto. It was a nice little wine cellar, but everyone was so friendly, and I think that was something that was carried throughout the world showcase. You felt like you were in those countries because those people are obviously from mm-hmm. those countries. And I think that they've really worked on adding a lot of depth to the experience.
Yeah, it was great. It was just really nice. And the one place we didn't spend a lot of time was in the American pavilion area. We kind of walked in and walked out.
Mm.
But I think there is actually a attraction there, but we didn't go and do it.
Was it perhaps down?
It might have been, yeah. Because
I do remember, no, I think that that area, there was something that was, we were saying, oh, it's a shame it's not on. Or maybe that was just the American barbecue, because, you know, food first.
Yeah. It's called the American Adventure, but yeah, we didn't do it. So we'll have to check it out next time and see what that's like. But the Canadian Pavilion was great. They had a Circle Vision there that was hosted by Martin Short.
Yes.
Which was really, really funny. So that was great. And we ate in a few places. We ate in the Japanese Tokyo Dining, I think it was called.
Yeah, we had a dinner there, didn't we?
Yes.
So Tokyo Dining was a really good experience. And I'd imagine that you'd actually get a really good view of illuminations if you timed your dinner just right.
True, yeah.
Because they've got those windows that look out over the World Showcase Lake. Is that what they call it? I don't know. And so we had a really nice dinner there. We had a really nice lunch in Italy at Tutto Gusto. I think we called in there and I might have had an emergency hangry snack on our last day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was terrible.
Maybe at Tutto Gusto I need food.
Well, because the thing was, you were hankering for a corn dog. Or a kiwi dog.
I think they were called corn dogs.
They're corn dogs, yeah. But because we were in Hollywood Studios and then we were making our way to Epcot just before we left to jump on the Tragical Express to go back to the airport. And so you were hungry. And then you got to a place that was on the boardwalk that
sold... Yeah, I didn't have my wallet because I got so used to just being able to use my little...
Just use your magic band?
Magic band, just tap it on through.
The magic band didn't work, did it?
No, because... They didn't do magic then.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, that was weird. Anyway, I'm not going to whinge about it forever. I was very disappointed. I was, need food. I think you'd gone to the hotel to go and drop something with the bags or pick something up. I can't remember which it was.
Yeah.
And I'm just like on the phone, meet me at Epcot. I'm going to Tutto Gusto. I'm going to go and eat food and have wine. Anyway.
I think have you seen that Snickers ad? Where people are really angry and horrible, and then they give them a Snickers and they eat it and they go back to normal. You seen that?
Yeah, but I needed something savory.
I know. I'm just saying. But yeah, so we went to Tutto Gusto and we had wine and we had food and then you got happy again. It was all good.
It was a really good combination of making me happy. Yeah.
And then after that we went to, because that was the last day we were there, and we went to France because we were trying to use up our snack credits.
Yeah.
And so we went to France and we just bought
all the things. Because we went into, my French is terrible. Is it Les Halls Boulangerie and Patisserie?
See, that sounds good. We'll go with that.
It's probably like les ordres boulangerie en pâtisserie. I should probably remember a little bit more French than that, shouldn't I? Anyway, we went in there and we just went, right, we've got these mini credits left. This is what we're going to do. And we just bought all the things and it was lovely.
Yeah, it was good. Good way to end the holiday.
What do you think of the beer garden restaurant?
I wasn't – I like it. Atmosphere, great. Yeah. Love the atmosphere. Beer, great. Love the beer. Food, terrible.
I wouldn't say terrible. I just think it was a bad example of German food.
Yeah, it was just, it was not.
Like, well, it was edible. I thought there were some lovely things like the spätzle and stuff like that was really yummy. Mm. But it's, I wanted German bread. Yeah. When we were in Germany and we were leaving Frankfurt Airport, we went to this little bar to have a little beer and you know, we'd just gone through airport security and things and had a bit of time to kill. And
don't say airport security and kill.
We had a bit of time to use up. And we went into this little place and I think the guy just brought out a plate of like bread and stuff for us, and I was just about in tears. Oh, this is the last German bread I'm gonna have. Thank you so much. Because it was one of those things where I had just eaten the most delightful thing I'd ever eaten, like bread wise, like throughout our whole trip in Germany. And he brought it out and it was lovely. I wanted German bread, and Germany didn't have German bread in the World Showcase.
Maybe we should go into the other shop and maybe they would have had it there.
Maybe.
No, we'll check to next year.
I think we spent way too much time in this Swarovski store just going, oh my God, look at that Elsa. Can we justify buying that Elsa? She's so pretty.
I was so happy we didn't though, because it was this awesome crystal Elsa and it was great. It was really good. It was like $500. And we were like
Australian,
yeah. And if we did it, it would have been like, you know, only reason we would have done it was because we bought this from Walt Disney World. This is unique to Walt Disney World. So get back to Perth. We're walking through one of our malls here. We see a Swarovski store, and in the window, and I was like, oh well, that's good. We didn't buy that. I was very happy because I would have been devastated thinking that we'd like bought it, we'd protected it, we got it home, and then we could have just bought it down the local mall.
And we got a little bit of Chinese food in over in the China part of World Showcase.
Did we?
Yeah, we had some dumplings.
Oh, okay.
You don't remember that?
I do not remember that, no.
I think we had some satay. I think we just got some small dishes.
Oh, okay.
It was maybe that first day that we were there when we had our 11 a.m. margaritas. We needed something to soak it up. And, of course, this is where I should come clean. Lewis had been listening to a lot of podcasts before we went on that particular trip, and you were quite ingrained in this whole thing of listening to the a lot of podcasts regularly.
Still am.
I hadn't started on that journey. And so Lewis was like, we have to go to Norway and have school bread for Michelle and Jane. I'm like, that's nice, dear. Who's Michelle and Jane? I feel really bad now because they're awesome and I should have started listening to them like decades ago. But really, it was one of those things where I went along. I didn't actually start listening to any Disney podcasts until after we'd met Ashley and Sam. And I was like, oh, maybe I should like listen to their podcast and see what it's like. You meet these people, you hear about these people, you start listening to them. They're awesome.
Exactly. But yeah, it was.
So we went and had some school bread.
Yeah, went out school bread, and that was really, really nice, very full on. I think I also had a massive donut in that area as well.
Yes, I think that you got that from who's that horrible prince or the king? Joffrey.
Joffrey. It's not associated with Game of Thrones, but yes, quite right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think there's a connection there somehow.
And when we were actually in the World Showcase, it was just before Flower and Garden.
That's what I was going to say, because I was going, like, flicking through my map, seeing what I'd forgotten. And when we went through the outpost, there was this gorgeous thing of Rafiki holding up Simba as a cub.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing those things was absolutely magical. Like, remember we were over in the England area, just across the road from the Rose and Crown pub. You look up and there's Peter Pan up on the roof. That was cool.
And it wasn't just like they appeared. They kind of like were being built over the days that we were there.
Yeah.
So every day they'd be a little bit more complete.
I think there was something really cool about watching that all take form. It was very cool.
It was absolutely awesome. And I'm hoping when we're there next time that we're there for food and wine. I'm not sure exactly when that's on, but I'm just hoping it hits when we're there next time.
Well, Michelle from Disney Dreamgirls was talking about it, and she was saying that they extended it this year, and so that's why she's been able to experience it. And I'm figuring we're going to be over there at the same time of year.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed, huh?
Hopefully that'll be awesome. But yeah.
Yeah, just like, you know, watching Illuminations, you know, going home at the end of the day and hanging out in the Rose and Crown and having a cheeky whiskey.
Yeah.
And we had some really good conversations with people while we were sitting around as well.
It was good because particularly about Rose and Crown. I mean, Beer Garden, you had to share tables with people and have conversations. Rose and Crown, it was such a small place. You got no choice but to, like, you know, share tables and that sort of thing with people. And then you just naturally end up with conversations with them.
Which was really good. I think that there should be more places like that because you learn about, like, you know, why other people come and enjoy this crazy place. And I think that nobody that we spoke to actually had kids or anything, which was, like, really refreshing because most people assume that it is a thing that you go and do with kids.
I think Epcot and World Showcase in particular, it was an area where you didn't see as many families there. Yeah, it's certainly a more adult place. I mean, they've obviously done things for kids, having like KidCot and things like that, where kids have got something to keep them occupied while their parents enjoy the food and the drinks and all that sort of stuff in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they're starting to introduce more of the characters, with the Frozen characters going in there, with Ratatouille going in there, with those kind of things, just to make it a more family environment, but still have that element of it being a place for adults as well.
Yeah. But I find it alarming that there is such a focus on this whole drinking around the world thing, because as much as I like drinking, I just find it weird that people would spend a day doing that. People must be completely sick the next day.
Oh, it really depends, like, on how you're doing it, I guess. Because, I mean, if the World Showcase opens up at 11 o'clock, so just say you got from 11 o'clock and then it closes at 11 o'clock, you got 12 hours and you've only got 11 pavilions. Mm. So that's one drink per hour if you were doing it at that kind of pace. So, I mean, it's doable without getting out of control.
Mm.
But the unfortunate thing is I think a lot of the people who want to go there and do a drinking around the world are younger people who maybe don't have as much respect for alcohol. And so that's why you do see some of the people we saw. Because we actually spoke to a person that was drinking around the world. Like, we spoke to several people that were drinking around the world.
Yeah.
And they weren't plastered.
No, that's true. So, if you were to name your favorite pavilion in the World Showcase, what would that be?
I would have to say Mexico.
Really?
Yeah.
You do surprise me, sir.
Yeah. Well, currently, like Mexico, okay, you've got Mexican food, which
mm-hmm.
I like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so like coming to terms with the whole margarita thing. I kind of like quite like them. See, I've drunk them.
I've finished my margarita, and Lewis is about a third of the way into his.
I'm savoring it. And it's got the Grand Fiesta Tour, the boat ride, with some really up-to-date animatronics with the three Caballeros. So for me, for current Epcot,
mm-hmm.
it's got everything I want in that area. Like, once France has Ratatouille, once we experience Norway with the Frozen ride, my opinion may change. But for now, it's Mexico.
I think mine would have to be Italy, just because I know that it's my go-to joint where I can go and sit down in the shade, have a lovely meal or snack, a glass of wine. You know, if I want to, I can go outside and have some gelato. I'm quite happy.
I'm glad that we're going to go there next year for, like, I think 10 days in total we'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need that time.
You're so sweet. And favorite ride?
Favorite ride, Test Track, currently. And again, once, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy is taking the place of Ellen's Energy Adventure, we shall have to see. But Test Track is an awesome immersive thrill ride.
Yeah, I think it's that whole, well, Okay, so mine would have been Sum of All Thrills, but that ain't there anymore. So I'd have to agree with you with Test Track. It was good fun. Like you said, it was immersive. It had that creative element, which I think is really, really good. And hopefully we can go back and enjoy it on some non-rainy days when we return in 2018. But on that happy note, I've been Catherine.
And I've been Lewis. And if you want more about Diz Down Under, go to our website at DizDownUnder.com.
That's right. We've got links to all of our social media and we're getting more photos up from previous trips. It's a slow process, but it is happening, I promise. We'll catch you down under again next week.
Diz Down Under is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Any external audio played on this podcast is for the purpose of discussion and are the property of the copyright holders. All original content is the property of Diz Down Under, a podcast produced by the Gentlemen of Pop Culture, all rights reserved. This podcast has been brought to you by the Gentlemen of Pop Culture.